Hi, everyone. Good morning and welcome to And Just Like What? Sex in the City Rewind Podcast.
Where Sex in the City superfans tell the truth and nothing but the truth about the show that made us who we are today. My name is Ricky.
My name is Meredith, and I really hope that this episode did not make us who we are today.
No, I hope this is exactly what the nation turned away from in the early 2000s.
Yeah, it was a hard... I mean, okay.
There were good things.
Exactly. There was good things. I was going to say,
yes.
This is the first time we meet Aiden. There are some bonkers outfits.
It was an era of fashion. Was it ever?
Yeah, it was an era of fashion. I don't know. I'm trying to search for what other good things.
What are the good things? I wrote a few good things. But if there's any doubt, we're talking about no ifs, ands, or buts.
Yeah.
From season 3 of Sex in the City. And this is maligned to be the worst episode of the whole series.
Yeah. I mean, especially according to Vulture, it's out of 93 episodes, it is 93rd.
I would say it's not quite as bad as Models and Mortals.
That's a good point, actually.
Because I think that's actually like, that's some illegal activity in there.
Yeah, that's like full on voyeur. Actually, probably assault.
Probably assault.
Like, what is it? Revenge porn territory?
Revenge kind of? Porn type of stuff. Well, non-consensual sex. And
yes.
Not only that, but when you think about that's what he was showing Carrie, what did he not show Carrie? Like there's worse Ooh. Things going on with a character, a shady character like that. As cute as he might be.
Yeah, and this is funny because that's a good point that you brought up because Models and Mortals the 79th and they don't even
talk about
mention
that.
About that he's filming these women without their consent.
And that Carrie actually is titillated by it. I think that they, you know, the character goes a long way from season one.
Although Carrie has never been our moral compass or like our moral voice ever.
No.
She never has.
No, that's true. Yeah, that's a good point. No, Carrie doesn't really...
She cares about... No, yeah. Well, I mean, maybe occasionally... Okay, so Miranda's really judgmental. Charlotte is like the original Karen. I'd say Samantha is probably the most progressive.
Yes, until this episode.
I don't see color. I see conquests. Like, could we be more colonial in our language?
Oh my gosh, no kidding. There's so many cheap shots at language in this episode where she talks about being whack and dissing things and a lot of racial kind of like puns.
Yeah.
And there's even a moment where Samantha calls Adina a big black, what was it?
Bitch.
A big black bitch? It's unbelievable. And then she said something, the problem wasn't my little white pussy, it was that he was a big black pussy. Like
pussy,
so
yeah.
much. It's just, yeah. It was wild. Okay, well, let's just kind of, okay, I should preface this.
Okay.
We're watching this in true midwinter. And, yeah. Right? Is this the episode we need right now? I don't think so.
Is this the episode? Could they just not include this episode in future? Like, do we need it? I guess Carrie meets Aiden.
And I think that if they edited out anything to do with Adina, a storyline, and Samantha... It'd be a solid episode.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would be middling.
Well, there were a couple things that were really great about the episode. And I do have to make a case for a couple things.
Okay. You can make a case.
Okay. Do you want to... Okay. We know it's last on the Vulture list. What does Vulture actually say about it?
So Vulture says, on the one hand, this is the episode in which Carrie meets Aiden. Mm-hmm. and goes on her first date with him. Although how they meet, I'm like, this is a bad setup for the future of their relationship.
True.
On the other hand, it plummets in our ranking for its clumsy handling of Samantha dating a black man named Siobhan. Clichés abound, most notably his overbearing sister, and worse, the show's dedication to themes ends up equating Samantha and Siobhan's insurmountable racial differences with Aiden's wish that Carrie quit smoking. Yee. And Charlotte's date's lack of kissing skill. Let's just say none of this would fly. This was written in 2018.
Right. And and then so that's basically it.
That's it.
Bye.
That's it. Bye.
Bye.
So it makes me feel like, is Darren Star like
again,
or Michael Patrick King, is he like internalized homophobic and racist?
I think they were doing an applaudable job at tackling tough issues. I actually think they're probably congratulated each other and be like, this is going to change the world. I honestly think that like they were trying to be provocative and I think they were doing a great job.
Yeah. I mean, so much has happened with our understanding of race and the impact of things like colonialism. And look, let's just say Ricky and I are white. We're both white. And so we're talking about this from like a very specific lens that is probably, I don't know, who wants to hear us? Maybe no one. So like I googled, are there any arts and culture writers who are also people of color who commented on this?
Oh, good.
And so I found an author, Johanna Desta, who wrote for Vanity Fair, and she actually interviewed Sandra Oakley, who played Adina.
This
episode.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So I was like, oh, that's
fabulous
interesting.
Fabulous journalism, actually.
Yeah, so do you want me to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I'd love to know. How did that actress feel about playing that role at that time?
So it's interesting. I think it's probably similar to what we said last episode. We're like, why did none of the actresses say anything about the storyline in Boy, Girl, Boy, Girl? Look, getting a part as an actor, it's... You want to work.
You want to work. Yeah.
And I think there's an idea that somehow, like speaking of moral compasses, that theater should be, that a theater and theater artists are also should be responsible for social justice change. Yeah. And they're not. They're not equipped for that.
No. Nope.
They're not educated or trained for that. Like they're, it's a gig economy and they're trying to get work. So Sandra says when I was looking at it through the lens of 20 years ago, Sandra, I was happy to have this job and work on this fabulous show. So it has like a bittersweet edge. But even a few years later, it's like, oh man, why did it have to be that way? Why couldn't it have been a different story? So when she auditioned for it, she didn't expect to get it. She was much younger. She had curly hair. It was her first ever on-screen role. So it was a big deal. Mm-hmm. And like when she read the full script, she had a little twinge in her brain and she was like, ugh, I don't really like where this is headed. But as an actor, like she it's her first on-screen role.
What are you
going
to say? Are you going to no, they'll be like, there are 100 other actresses who are fine with how we treat race in this issue, Adina.
Yep.
So bye.
And it looks like she was actually already friends with Agio Highsmith, who played Siobhan.
Friends with him. Interesting.
So they're in the same community. She also talks a little bit about working with the stars. I mean, look, we know it's bad. Okay. We know the content is bad. They talk about Siobhan's big black cock. Like it's all about conquests from these like four white women.
Oh, and again, the perpetuating the myth that, people of color are sexually aggressive or have sexual prowess too. And this happens with like that Pocahontas legend, like objectifying indigenous bodies or objectifying black bodies.
Yeah.
This is wrong. This is wrong to keep talking about men, black men with big dicks.
Yeah. So she does say that the four core stars were, incredibly kind and professional.
Oh, well, how lovely is that to hear? Because
she said she never felt like a day player. She said Cottrell particularly, which is interesting with all the drama, was super sweet.
Oh.
And like, and she's not in a fake way. Like she was genuinely nice.
Weirdly enough, I think Kim Cottrell did a great performance. Given the material, you know, was really terrible. She did actually an interesting kind of comedic performance in this episode, and there was a bit to it, because here we have Samantha actually having feelings for someone and having that as a moment where that could be taken away from her and she feels powerless.
Yeah. And then this this is, I agree. I thought she did do a good job. I thought she handled it as sensitively as she could, considering yeah. some of the lines she had to say.
Oh, she had to say some really wild stuff.
Yeah. And I think when you look back at Sex and the City, it is almost uniformly white. And it sounds mm-hmm. like that. So Sonia Braga is Samantha's girlfriend in season 4. Surprise! Samantha has a Brazilian girlfriend.
Yes. Okay. What are you going to say about her?
Well, just that it's uniformly white, and yes. that actually the actresses lobbied really hard for diversity because they said they were aware that it was Nixon, because this is a quote, Nixon in 2003, our beloved Miranda says, all four main actresses lobbied really hard for Blair Underwood to be cast in season 6. He's an arc where he's Miranda's love interest.
A lovely, lovely storyline, yeah, I have to say. It's good. I loved it. Until they were aware
that the show's lack of diversity was actually irresponsible.
Yes.
So, but I mean, the fact that out of every episode, when you think of it in the scope of the universe, Siobhan is the... There's like two black men they date.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's kind of unbelievable.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
You know what also I found very strange is that they kept referring to J-Lo as being part of black culture.
I know.
And I don't think that's, maybe influential in black culture, but they kept, that was the reference to music at that time. Okay, well, Can I say one more thing?
Mm-hmm. So I looked up this other arts and culture writer named Chloe Alice, and she writes for Medium. You can look her up. It's a really interesting piece. So she writes about it, about this article about like from the frame of being a person of color. And she's like, it would have been the thing that would have been most... there were so many other ways the storyline could have gone.
Yes.
And they honestly could have just... they could have just had Samantha date a black actor and not have acknowledged his blackness. Like, that would have been truly kind of radical at the time. To be like, this is a man they're interested in. Yeah. Period. Yeah. And so it's interesting. She says this writer knows that the show centered on four white women, and she has no issue with it being right. She doesn't need someone who looks like her to enjoy it. But she doesn't want to see someone like herself in the name of inclusion to be painted in the ugliest light. So if we're going to diversify the cast.
Oh, right. Why do it like this?
Then be real about it.
Yes, exactly.
You know?
Yeah, exactly. Like throw race in as an antagonizing factor in a storyline. Yeah.
For them to kind of be the ugliest, worst selves. And she's like, black people, like, we know our story. We don't need white people to tell us our story.
Or like white women sitting around a brunch, kind of like hushing their tones when they talk about black people, you know, except for Charlotte when she's like, big black cock, big black cock.
I mean, Charlotte is the original Karen.
Well,
I saw your dog pee on that spot absolutely. On the pavement.
Wiggles nose.
Although she's better. She's better now, I guess.
She's better now. They had to do a lot of work on that character to keep it to make it relevant at all. Because could you imagine if, and just like that, nobody had grown at all? Like there was no growth? Oh, yeah. I think that would be actually accurate for a lot of women of that, and people, white people, of that social kind of stratus.
Yeah.
Strata. But could you imagine watching that? Okay. Well, we have, I don't know. Charlotte has a very, like, I mean, nothing. She has a bad kisser.
Yeah.
And is that enough, you know, to break up over bad kissing? I guess that's the question there.
I think so.
Oh, yes. Oh my God. Yes, yes, yes.
I thought you were asking me. And, I'm like, yeah.
Yeah. That's a rhetorical question yet. Thank you for answering. same for me. I think that tooth decay, you know, when you can taste it. Teeth problems.
Oh.
I think it's one of the worst things. Like an inherently bad breath. The worst than kissing. Actually, I could handle bad kissing over bad breath. That doesn't seem to stem from anything recent. Ew. You know what I mean?
I'm thinking of black encrusted teeth.
Yes, yes. Mm. Yeah, like a problemed tooth. Oh, I just hate like a
you root. Just like wiggle with your tongue.
Oh, oh, I can loosen this for you.
Oh God.
So that's all Charlotte really has. I thought by the name of this episode that it was something to do with anal sex.
Yeah, me too.
I was like, where's the anal sex come in? Is this where someone tries to, you know, there is a storyline where Charlotte. Yeah, I know. There is a storyline where Charlotte is asked to have anal sex. No?
Yeah, there is. It's funny. And then they all get in the cab and they're like, let's talk about it.
Right. That is good. That's from season one, two?
I can't remember. It's a funny episode.
It's a very funny episode. Actually, it's one of the episodes where it's actually funny. And okay, and then we have obviously Samantha's storyline that we don't have to belabor. It's just so strange. We have Miranda and Steve. That's something happening there.
Yeah, so Steve wants to do the half court shot at the Knicks game to win $1 million, and Cynthia's like, Miranda's like, this is dumb. And he's like, you think everything's dumb? You think everything's stupid? You should do Steve.
I wrote some of it down. No, I just wrote a lot of thoughts. I hate I hate Steve shooting hoops. I hate this person right now. Like him. You know, like, talk about toddler confidence. He is wandering around this quite beautiful apartment that he has not paid for and hasn't contributed to at all, except for smear, you know, like underwear with stained underwear.
Ew.
Because isn't that a story? Isn't that happened too, where she sees like a poop mark on his underwear?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's all he's contributed to this multi-million dollar by now apartment in New York City. But yet he is bouncing a ball around like it is bull in a china shop. And yet tries to make her care about this basketball game, this hoop.
Yeah.
When she is actually paying for the apartment.
Yeah, she's actually...
she's actually paying for that apartment.
She's working.
She's working. I think that's important. Silly. He's silly. And like, this whole like calling her on it and getting mad seems really aggressive. I just... I hate it. Like, no.
You don't like it.
No, thank you. What about you? You love it. I mean... You love toxic masculinity.
Loved it.
Turns you on.
No, I find that... I mean, I didn't think there was no point to his argument.
Miranda,
we gotta believe in me. Miranda is really pessimistic. And like even when Carrie tells her that she has a crush, Cynthia talks about like a partridge, someone from the Partridge Family. And Carrie's like, what about Steve? And she's like, oh yeah, my boyfriend. Like, I think she's eternally pessimistic.
She is. And that does great on you. Like, as a friend, as a partner, that grates on you. So I could see flipping out. Just be like, could you be excited?
Exactly. Or,
like, don't be so cool, you know? Like,
Be so cynical.
Don't be so cynical. Like, it's, you know, it's the barriers, it's the walls, it's the place of unhappiness.
Yeah. Her experience so far.
Yeah. Although I could say going out in public to Fusion with that hairstyle would be enough with that bouffant with like a beret in it would be enough to set me over the edge for a full week too. A full episode.
Sex in the City is so funny because like sometimes there's nuance in when it's interpersonal connection between the friends.
Yeah.
But then when they talk about like bigger issues, it's just like getting hit in the face with like a hammer. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Like this restaurant's called Fusion.
And we're serving okra. And you know, like it's just it's heavy handed.
Yeah.
Heavy-handed.
Makes me laugh. So Carrie and Miranda go to Magnolia Bakery. Remember when having a cupcake was like the biggest? I went to Magnolia Bakery.
It was a full pilgrimage for anyone who loved Sex and the City. It made it brought. There were two big trends from this episode: cupcakes.
Yep.
In the early 2000s.
Yes.
Magnolia. I remember once. After the New York Marathon, my friend and I had watched, we weren't in it. We watched a friend in the New York Marathon.
Yeah.
We all went for dinner to this place called Fatty Crab. It was like the best restaurant at the time. It was like really one of those it restaurants. Mm-hmm. And then we were just wandering around, like just walking in New York, and we saw Magnolia and had a cupcake. That is like that New York moment that I'll never forget.
Remember, it was Magnolia, and then later in the subsequent seasons, they start to eat Tasty Delight. Remember Tasty Delight?
Oh, they have a lot of Tasty Delight. Yes.
I also loved that.
You like your Dole Whip too.
Oh, I love Dole Whip. But remember when New York was like the epicenter of so many trends are coming out of New York, and now
so much. Well, this show,
yeah.
This show started a lot.
Yep. Which is cool. But now it's what also I find fun is that now there's trends coming out of like South Korea, or, you know, like, it's so cool to be, it's just so much bigger.
Even from the American lens, I feel like there's so much stuff coming out of the Midwest or the South, or, you know, like there's just cooler stuff happening other places. There's a lot of hard feelings about New York right now, isn't there? The pandemic the pandemic wasn't kind to New York.
It hit the city really, really hard.
It hit the city really hard. And, you know, a lot of the creative class left because they couldn't handle it, couldn't afford it, that type of thing. Anyway, whatever. But yes, Magnolia. Oh.
And then Carrie meets Aiden. And this is Aiden's jade and silver jewelry era.
This is his, like, slightly thinning hair, young face. So, looking at the baby face of Aiden. John Corbett in this episode is so nice. He looks so fresh.
I like Aiden. Okay, but let's just talk about this. So the setup for the relationship is that he says he will not date someone who smokes. So from the get-go, from the very beginning of the relationship, he is finding fault with Carrie.
Yeah.
So no wonder they don't make it. Like, he leads with, you have to change for me to be with
smoking.
You. And I understand that's a deal breaker. Like, maybe he has a dad who died from smoke. From, you know, sure, but it's like that. That's his very first statement that he leads with. I
think
don't know.
That is strong. That's assuming a lot from this first encounter.
Yeah.
Like, just kiss her and then tell her later. Like, you know, you don't have to recoil in horror from her breath.
It's gross.
Could you imagine what Carrie smells like? Kind of like high end perfume, like. A mix of three cool perfumes that she custom blends every morning.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like a patchouli, Chanel No. 5, and...
Patchouli. That would be a gross base note.
The patchouli's in a lot of good perfume.
Yeah, I guess.
And,
right.
And smoky hair.
Yes. Like
all that hair, it's just a smoke sponge.
I guess because I smoked in my 20s. I did. I went to theater school. Come on. Of course I did.
So did I.
Like menthol.
No one smoked. Not anyone in our theater school smoked.
Oh, really? So there's something about it that it's like a nostalgic smell for me. Like I don't find it gross. And I guess it depends. It depends on who.
Gosh.
If it's like,
no,
you
go to the casino here. You can still smoke indoors in one place. Go in and see if you like breathe it in and smile. I get what you mean, though. I get what you mean. In certain scenarios, it reminds you of just a great time and place.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, yes, I don't want to have like a wall of like sweaty butt cracks casino smoke. there's one storyline we're forgetting. Stanford hooks up with a guy who collects a bunch of creepy dolls.
Yes.
And the doll's eyes wiggle while they're having sex.
Yes.
And it's kind of funny.
And it's kind of great. And he actually has a couple of great moments in this episode, Stanford, but overall, a lot of those other storylines are just kind of illustrating the point of like, what's the deal breaker? What's the thing? What's your deal breaker? What's your deal breaker?
What's my deal breaker? toxic masculinity.
Yeah, right. That's your number one.
What's my deal? Oh, that's hard. Okay, I feel put on the spot. What's my deal breaker? Being unconscious of emotional labor.
Oh my God. Okay.
Buying into stereotypical social and cultural gender norms. Like, I probably just like unkindness, like even if it's small, meanness is my deal breaker. People who are casually mean.
Oh yes, unkindness, meanness. Yes, that is like when you go somewhere and witness someone treating someone vulnerable or someone kind of like weaker than you or more maligned in society, meanly, that is the hardest thing I can watch. Like,
like you if know, you're rude to a someone who's serving server. You coffee. Yeah, exactly.
A server. That's the really good litmus test for who this person is, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, Stanford has this, but you know what I really loved about Stanford is when he and Carrie, she's kind of regaling this whole smoking thing with Stanford at her place. And I love a martini or cosmopolitan smoke session at Carrie's place with all these fashion magazines stacked.
Like it looks so fun.
That's how I emulated my 20s. That's what I wanted. That's what I always wanted. People to come over, have cocktails, talk, gossip.
I know. It sounds so fun.
Sounds so fun. Yep. Getting ready to go out. You know, like that long period that about 7:30 or 8 to 10 when you'd get ready to go out and have a drink at your house.
Yeah, and then I'd usually be like, y'all, it's 10. I got to stay home now.
Yeah, I'm really tired. You're buzzed.
Yeah. Missed the boat. I know, we had friends who'd want to go to like 11. I'm like, are you kidding? I mean, I've been in bed for 2 hours at that point.
So you were a very tired smoker. Didn't this in your
20s? They called me Grandma Bailey.
Grandma Bailey. Just chain smoking at home? In bed?
Like, I am fun from 8 a.m. to like 8 p.m. All day. You got me all day.
Well, I just really discovered the disco nap early on in my life. And the only way, because I was Grandpa Zaychley too, right? Like, for sure. And that's the only way I could do it to this day. I have a nap and then I can go out. A late nap.
And you're not groggy? You're not like, gah.
You know, like I would have like a four to five, four to six nap, and then I'm good if I shower and get ready. Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay. Then I'm good. Then I'm good until like 2-3 in the morning.
Wow.
In that era, but back then, you know, I was in Toronto, kind of felt like it was the Canadian New York City.
Sure.
Clubs were a happening. Things were jiving. People were. It was an era. It was so fun. Actually, this episode reminds me a lot about that. Those first few years of mine in Toronto, the fashions, like Samantha walking with the, oh my God.
What is that dress, the dress with this, where it's just fully her sequin underwear?
It's just her underwear and like just a bandeau-y top, silver with like, it's very clubby. Everything was like kind of club wear.
She's wearing that like gold, her gold like pants and jacket.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm talking about the dress at the end.
Oh.
That's just like did you not notice that dress? It's two slits like up to her hip bones.
That she wears.
Sequin underwear when she has her fight with Adina.
That's right. There are two looks that are very clubby. And that is one where she has the fight with Adina.
Yeah.
It's almost like long culottes or something like that.
It's a dress with slits up to her underwear.
It's a time and place. It'll never happen again.
That's why Adina says your J-Lo dresses, because it's like, you know, because J-Lo wears that crazy dress.
VMA's Video Music Award red carpet looks, right?
Yeah.
And they were styling her like really urban. But, okay. So Carrie and Aiden.
Carrie and Aiden. It's funny because I don't think they knew what they were going to do with Aiden, because he is set up almost like a day player. In this episode, like it's
a
not...
little bit, but then she kind of, the end was kind of like, let's hope she sticks on this patch. She's changing for Aiden.
Yeah. She likes him.
She likes him. So at the end, I feel like, oh, I like this guy.
You liked him too. No.
She said that.
You never liked Aiden.
No. I do, but I do. Maybe I agree. Maybe this whole like start of, you know, don't like smokers. You know.
Well, I just think it's a weird way to start a relationship with someone that you lead with what you don't like about them.
Also, Aiden doesn't add up to me sometimes. He has this. He's a furniture maker who's really wealthy. Who is this guy? Well, he has a store that's like the number one store. It's in the New York Times style section. It was like a million people wandering around in there. Like, yeah, it just was, I don't know.
The chair that Carrie buys from him is $3,800. American.
American in the year 2000.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
And she still ends up paying $2,500 for it.
And yes, and it has 100-year-old leather. I would need a deep discount for old 100-year-old leather. That's not nice leather. That leather on that chair is not 100 years old. Like, that was a Pottery Barn chair they shipped in from somewhere.
That's why you're mistrustful, because you know your furniture. You're like, you're lying.
You're lying. And I don't think that's a great thing to have 100-year-old leather on your chair. That was stripped from like an old pub or something. I can't remember what he said.
Railway car.
A railway car.
I mean, he's unformed. You're lying. He's unformed. So Aiden is like a piece of clay that's in the bottom of your kid's like clay bag that's unformed. Like, he has eyes and kind of the semblance of a face, but he's not formed yet. They don't know who he's going to be. He's not written yet.
You know what I think also pissed me off about Aiden? When Carrie first enters that store and Pete comes and humps her leg.
Yeah.
Pete,
I lost Pete.
Lost Pete. I hate Pete. Get out of here, Pete. You ruin everything. But but Aiden anthropomorphizes him in such a weird way. Like, he talks for Pete. Like, you know what I mean? Like, kind of like makes Pete a man.
Like, who's a coming creepy after lech.
A creepy, yeah, like a really sexually aggressive man that he works with.
Like. It's like Baird. Pete's like the dog version of Baird.
Yeah. So I just, I always find that a little quirky too, when someone talks, like pretends their dog is a human. I would be running the other way.
That's your deal breaker?
Mm-hmm.
Anthropomorphizing animals, like someone's lizard. Ooh, Scaly thinks you're really pretty. Scaly talked about you all
Scaly.
Night.
Mm-hmm. Scaly told me something about you last night. You were smoking. Like, no. I don't like that.
Well.
I don't know where. What else? Okay, other things I liked.
I did like the looks that they were putting Samantha in. I thought there were some cool looks she wore. She wore this like sequin, kind of like reddy green sequin dress at mm-hmm. the restaurant at Fusion that I really liked. I did not like her super high slits. That's a hard, who can wear that dress?
That's a hard one. It's a hard one.
I didn't like her gold outfit. I liked Carrie's, I liked the first outfit that Carrie wore on her date, her first date with Aiden. She's wearing this kind of like vintage fur white jacket.
Oh yeah, and she runs up. Okay.
Yeah, strapless dress. She looks beautiful.
I have to say, I think one of the most iconic, my favorite of all Sex and the City looks is in this episode.
What?
It's Carrie in the wide leg pink trousers with the one that she goes shopping in. Ribbed tank top, big camellia, like whatever she's wearing as a flower, and then her Dior saddlebag. This Dior bag went 2000 version of viral. It was like a biggest moment. It's Jean Galliano for Dior. Created mm-hmm. this bag, this show made it one of the most classic bags of the 2000s.
Yeah, that is a great look. It's very classic Carrie.
With
I mean,
that
she's like
equestrian kind of like scarf material.
Yeah.
Very
and
good.
And she thinks she's wearing a pink heel.
She could be wearing like a pink heel.
We'll look and post it.
I think that wide leg trouser is just before skinny jeans. All the skinny stuff came in, and I'm just so loving that. Like, I think it's such a nice silhouette, and it looks very now to me. Like,
it's coming back, wide leg.
That wide leg with this very simple, like, ballet top.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that. Do you remember the ballet tops? The people, bodysuit tops?
Yes. Oh, I have some
great?
Now.
Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah. They're simple, very simple line. They lay well against clothes. Yeah, it's true.
I feel like we're stretching.
Yeah.
There's nothing,
y'all.
I'm sorry.
Look,
what's
I
next?
Hope you, okay, so next is episode 6 is Are We Sluts?
Oh, my God.
Carrie can't understand why Aiden doesn't want to sleep with her. He wonders if Manhattan girls are all sluts. Charlotte is a great lover. Oh, he calls her a bitch and whore during sex. Remember that? Miranda discovers she's chlamydia.
Miranda has chlamydia?
Oh, and remember from Samantha's? Steve? No, I think she gets it from someone else. One of Samantha's countless dates accidentally allows a violent robber into her building. Remember that?
I actually don't remember almost any of this. So that's good. Okay. Yeah. That's actually good because it's going to be a hot take from me. I hope everyone's... I think there's a polar vortex around across all of North America and a lot of Europe. So if everyone's, you know, you're cold, need to... Yeah, you're chilly, you need to warm up, you want to throw on your headphones, binge our pod. We've got a lot of content. This is episode 55.
Binge our pod. It's cozy. It's often funny. You'll hear beans.
Sometimes. I would say this episode, we just didn't have good source material. Sorry, everyone. Yeah. I'm sorry if you're starting here, but I'm guaranteeing you, if you go back in the archives, things get better. It gets better.
All my children are now here.
Your children are here. Oh, I love that. Hi, guys.
Hi, Eki.
Hi.
Okay, well, have a great week.
Same to you.
Bye.